Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
They say marketing is a madman's game. So now we turn it over to the marketing madman with Trip Jobe and Darren Rand on Extra 106.3 FM.
Happy Saturday and welcome to the Marketing Madmen. Trip Jobe here with our friend and frequent co-host, Nick Constantino, Vice President of Business Development for 680 The Fan.
I want to be the consigliere. I think I'm going to go with that.
And the Atlanta Braves Radio Network. We can't miss that. We're gonna keep on with our theme from last week, talking a little bit about sports and sports marketing and how that can either help your business or at times it can be, you know, money going down the drain when it's not done well. I mean, we've had the last 2 weeks in Atlanta has been awesome. All right. I mean, think about the atmosphere, you know, in Atlanta, whether it was the first games in Houston, here in Atlanta, or then the last games and everyone coming down to the Battery and everything. Fantastic. And then Georgia, Florida. What a time in Atlanta sports.
Absolutely. I think when you add that up and just, you know, the Falcons were playing, the Hawks started their season, you have the Gladiators playing, the Swarm's about to start.
United's pushing for the playoffs.
Georgia State played Georgia Southern, which I think is one of the more underrated rivalries and games in the city, one of my favorite times to go. It's just, you know, you wait your whole year to get to this point, the weather cools down, and in the midst of it, and my goodness, I would probably say a year or two has been taken off my life. A year or two of patience has been left from my wife, who's angry at me because I'm coming home at 3 in the morning every night.
I know there's a lot of hours of sleep that were taken off my life this past 2 weeks. But, you know, I think it's a great time because our listeners are out there, some of them who've jumped in, all right, whether it be the Braves, whether it be, you know, Georgia, Georgia Tech, you name it. It's been excitement. It's a way to pick things up. And let's talk a little bit about that. Overall, what have you seen in the area of sports marketing in the last 2 weeks, just at a high level? Kind of what's been the vibe?
Yeah, well, I think some context here is important. So one of the things, I got a bunch of friends, family, everyone's like, what was it like? Well, first and foremost, I would say I felt like I was part of the World Series. I wasn't a spectator. You know, we're in our office right now. We're looking straight down the main pavilion of the Battery. You know, I'm walking around with a media badge, wandering around the stadium freely, bringing people in and out of where I need them to. You know, just for a watch party, they wouldn't let anybody in the Battery. They're like, oh, 680 The Fan, come on in. So a lot of it has to do with just the relationship we have with the team. A lot of it has to do with just being a bull in a china shop and pretending I should be everywhere and doing it. But I felt like I was a part of this. And to see just, you know, we manage the international streaming rights and audio is so big right now. Just watching 50 countries light up with people listening and being a part of it, it's been a pretty transcendent career experience to see this all happen. But it's also provided a lot of context. You know, I manage all the advertisers coming in or out of the sponsors and how much of sponsorship, how much we charge them, where the tickets go. You know, my brother was getting married two Saturdays ago, right as we got into the World Series. And my goodness, I got 50 text messages and calls almost immediately at 12:30 at night, you know, saying congratulations, ... I need tickets. I want tickets. Can I have tickets?
You feel like Max Fried out in Dodger Stadium, huh?
My goodness. Well, I'll tell you. And luckily, you know, luckily, most people get it and they understand. You know, they saw the ticket prices. They get that the World Series, the Super Bowl, national championship is just a different beast. So I think it's a good time to have this conversation, and I got some additional context about it.
Well, you know, one of the things, and I've done my 30-year career. I mean, I went to the All-Star Game back in San Diego that started, and the Mexican president was there. That was one of the very first big security events because we had the Athlon deal. I mean, Hammer Mill for years and years. So we always took customers to the All-Star Game and things like that. I've been to many PGAs, U.S. Opens, Masters, all that. And one of the things you talk about is there is a difference between having a ticket broker and then working as an integrated plan with an advertiser and the things that you may have available to you or finding out what's important when you're working with someone directly. if you just want to do entertainment, hey, ticket brokers are just fine. You know, you're going to pay a transactional fee pretty much. You're going to get in and all that. But talk a little bit about maybe the experience during the World Series that 680 and others were able to bring to your advertisers and then maybe their customers.
Sure. So the one thing you know is that everyone's going to answer their phone, whether it's the agency that's been, you know, harassing you about the cost is too high for the ratings, whether it's the big time client or whether it's the small mom and pop shop, everyone's going to answer your call. And you're going to have somebody who's, some people are going to balk at the price of what you're putting out, and you're going to have people that are going to be like, oh, that's nothing. But relatively, you're creating a new supply demand curve with a limited time window to buy something. And whenever you can put those things together, that's when the prices go up. So we had a good amount of tickets through our partnership that we got at relatively well, good rates relative to what people are paying on the aftermarket. But we had a list of 180 advertisers that we had to kind of position who's going to be in. So, you know, I'll give you an example. Truist Bank, for those that don't know, and everyone should that's been here, their name is on the building. The Braves wouldn't give them tickets. So they ran out of tickets and they came to us and said, do you guys have tickets? Well, conveniently we did. And conveniently we got a substantial check attached to running game one sponsorships.
Right.
You know, we had a clock running to start every game. We threw everything you can at sponsorship. Every minute of inventory of this station was allocated. The good news is two things. One, sports people are used to that. You're not throwing them off by having a sponsor of everything because they've watched NASCAR. They've been in a stadium. They know. And then also, they're radio people. So they understand that this content is provided them for free because of the advertisers. And that's one thing that I appreciate about the radio audience and just who we reach. They understand that that relationship exists for a reason. They're not looking for things to be free and that instant gratification. Because honestly, when someone says things free, they're tricking you. It's not free. And there's a sponsor. They're just weaving in there differently.
Right. I think that's the key about, okay, so you're able to take care of the sponsors who've been there, first off, for a while. The sponsors who have full-time programs. Right. Not that you don't get the, you know, Johnny come lately who's willing to pay the master's rate at Motel 6 in Augusta. Right. I heard someone talk about it the other day. I think it's like $4.99 a night at a Motel 6 in Augusta during the Masters. Right. If someone's willing to pay that rate, maybe you can find something. But really, it's about the long term relationship and all that. I mean, I've had a long term friend. She's one of the executive leaders for Signet Jewelers. When they need something, you know, when it comes down to college football playoffs and all that,
the prices change.
Guess what? They get it. But they get it because guess what? They're advertising all year on. They're a presenting sponsor.
Yes.
And they're willing to pay. But I mean, it's not just because they jump in. They're trying to jump in at the last minute. They've got the full season. They've got the playoff. They've been doing it for X number of years. And so you build those credits.
Yes. And it's credits. And I think what we found was as we progressed later and later into this and we felt we were more part of it, our swagger grew up. We had more and more swagger towards it. And it's like, well, you know, if you're not paying, then I got a lot of people that are paying. And, you know, ultimately we own rights fees. So we owe money for each level we get to. So once it started coming together and you know, these are all my guys, all my sales guys are all ex-athletes. They're competitive. You saw one guy sell three. Now you got to go out there and you got to sell the other four and five. And we did a really good job. And then we had a couple of clients who were like, hey, I'm like, here's the price. And they're like, okay, what's the real price? I'm like, this is the price. Yeah. And they said, okay, I'm not going to buy. And then they came back and say, what's the price now? I go, it went up or we're sold out. And now all of a sudden, here, sign, done, in.
Hey, I want to talk about that because that's a reality. So you're dealing with a very short-term demand. And I think there's a difference now in B2B versus B2C. So we've all been there and we go, wait a second. But I waited till an hour before the game and I saw a ticket price drop to face value at the last minute. Okay, that's B2C.
Right.
And that's a finite demand for that ticket, okay? When you're starting talking in the world of advertising for a big property with a finite timeline, okay, in this case, the World Series, in a minute, we're going to come back to an example we have for one of our clients.
Sure.
It doesn't work the same as B2C. And I think that's where businesses miss out. Why don't you talk a little bit about that? You're not trying to take somebody, you know, every penny, but that's, you know, demand is there and you're not going to hold it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, first off, B2B, you're talking about much larger sums of money that are being exchanged, right? If you're talking about a B2B client, they are not expecting to get a ticket Jimmy to their phone last minute that they're wandering into a stadium. They're expecting a pre-party beforehand, hospitality, suites, and you have to rise to that level. That being said, that's what costs more money. And most of what we do, I mean, we're a B2B company. I mean, all our advertisers are businesses that are trying to reach usually B2C or B2B. But that's really where the money is. Patients are much higher also. So, you know, again, again, we had the ability to. We were lucky because of the relationship with the Braves. We got almost everybody into our suite. And seeing a game from a suite and seeing a game from the 300s are very different experiences. We got lucky. I mean, it could have went differently, but most of the people that we had in here were very happy to be involved in it. And I think that's also, it's been a long time since the Braves have been in this town. For what it's worth, does not have the best reputation in history with winning these events. But again, that positive atmosphere, that environment, they could tell we were fans of the team. They can tell the Braves cared about us. And if you can really provide those things, you can provide a good atmosphere for anyone.
Yeah. And so I mentioned, so we're working with a client right now. We've got a big launch that's happening this week, new website, a whole PR push, et cetera. And so we kind of at the last minute said, let's do something late November, early December, digital with them. So I reached out this week. You know, we had gotten general information. And here's what's going on. End of the year, we had a lot of businesses out there with their ad spending that had committed to a certain amount of ads. They hadn't spent them. So guess what? End of the year, they're pushing all their, they're already contracted to pay for it.
Yeah.
And basically, we had 2 weeks available to us because we were not going to do it after December 15th. And so, you know, I basically went back to the client and said, we need a decision tomorrow by noon. Because guess what? It's going to be gone. Actually, the one that we were talking about wasn't even available last week. Someone decided they weren't ready. They dropped it. They're going to push theirs back. And so you have to understand what's the situation. What's the timing? Yeah. In your case of the World Series, it was a finite. It was going to be here and it was going to be gone.
And it wasn't self-imposed.
Don't expect it just to, you know, come back and the market come back to normal. There is no normal.
Yeah.
All right. And in business, when you're thinking about, especially end of the year and certain times, you have to understand you got to make a decision.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah. And I think if I'm being honest, I think the marketing providers, the radio stations, the TV stations have really screwed that up. And that the reason is they throw dates out for no reason. They'll just throw a date out and be like, oh, no, it's fine. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
And those tactics will only get you so far in selling and marketing. If there's a finite date, you cut that date off and you move on to the next client. Because I know the short-term games will be there. If you play some of those little games, you're like, oh, just kidding. We can. But if you really put a finite date and people are know you're used to that, you're going to change your dynamics for several months and years to come.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So we're going to come back from the break. We're going to talk a little bit about postmortems. All right. So we're about to hit the after effects, and we'll kind of get into that and how that can help your business. So you're listening to the Marketing Mad Men on Extra 106.3.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey Atlanta, Hudson Mason here. Is a new roof still on your to-do list, but you've been delayed due to rising home service costs? Well, here's a fantastic solution from Accent Roofing Service. Zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for a full year. That's right, you can get your new roof now and start paying next year. Act quickly because Accent's incredible offer of 000 with a 12-month deferred payment option for a lifetime roof system isn't going to last long. Contact the craftsman at Accent Roofing Service today, accentroofingservice.com.
Now back to the Marketing Mad Men on Extra 106.3 FM.
Welcome back to the Marketing Mad Men. Trip Job here with Nick Constantino of the 680 The Fan and the Atlanta Braves Radio Network. You know, right before the break, we were talking about you know, how to use sports marketing. And one of the things that we hit on was the fact that you need to think of it as a plan. So I'm going to take a step back before we jump into the audits and assessments and postmortems and say, all right, you're building, you're here, you know, a week ago, and, you know, you're thinking about, well, what could happen? You know, would the Braves clinch here? Would they go back to Houston? Would they win? Would they lose? I mean, there's two outcomes as a business that's involved in sports marketing. And I think one of the things you hit on, and I'd love to get your take on this, is, you know, as a business working with the properties and your agencies and advertising firms, think about what are you going to do in each situation?
Sure.
Because you don't know the outcome, but you know it's one or the other. Are you going to be congratulatory? Or are you going to be, hey, we support you? You know, do you want to be there in the parade? Do you want to be there, you know, if they don't win? Those type of outcomes. And you have to think about that a week and 2 weeks ahead of time, not at the very last minute.
Yeah, this is one of the areas where, honestly, radio as a whole, and we were really able to succeed because, you know, TV can adapt fast. By the time you produce a spot that's thematic and all that stuff, you're never going to get it up in time. You know, the internet, you can change your branding and your messaging a little bit, but we had a couple clients. You know, Jim Beam was a great example. You know, we've been talking all night long, what if, what if, what if, what if they get in? We were able to, on a dime, turn it over, get tickets, do two watch parties, pack two bars. Jim Beam will be served in that bar forever because there were just thousands of people and pictures, and now they're the bar that had the World Series tickets. So if the client is able to adapt quickly and you are able to adapt quickly, you can really make magic happen quickly. And that was what we were able to do. You know, Truist Bank was another great example. You know, the Braves cannot change their company, their branding across the stadium as quickly as we can drive people to a place we need to. Right. And you know, if they're coming to the game, they're probably so entrenched that they're listening to the pregame show on the radio on their way in. So we were really that guy to, okay, go here. We need you to go here. This is going to be here at this time. And you can't do that with certain mediums. So it's always client contingent. You know, we had Solomon Brothers, a great example. Ben Ingram was their spokesperson. I knew in advance Ben would be eventually the voice of the Braves. So yeah. I got him in early with Solomon Brothers. Now you have the guy who's calling all of the World Series games as your endorser. Well, now you have to be in the World Series. It just makes sense that way. So it varies by client, but ultimately, you need to have a plan, but you can't have – you need a roadmap, if you will. You can't spend hours and days deliberating because the other outcome is they don't win. They don't make it. So you have to be able to quickly put on paper what you want to accomplish, either find an agency or an advertiser who's going to be able to execute that plan, and you have to be prepared to either, one, fail, or, two, improvise, because that is the king of short term. That yeah. You have to be able to improvise and pivot on a dime.
Scenario plans, you know, and building that plan. And one thing I will note, I have talked to dozens of people in the last couple weeks. It was heavier during the Dodger series, but even happened during the World Series. People who told me, yeah, thanks for telling me about the fan app, because I couldn't stand listening. I watched the game, but I turned the mute on and I listened to the local broadcast.
Yeah, you know, it's an amazing thing. And that's really simply baseball and radio are just permanently attached to each other. And, you know, the app, we put a lot of time and money into the app. So it's a little bit more user friendly. The audio sound is a little bit clearer. But ultimately, you know, your comfort zone is with the local guys and watching a national broadcast. I can't tell you how many people told me, like, yo, if you see Frenchie, punch him in the face. Why is he rooting for the Dodgers? And I was like, I'll give him a good kick when I see him. But ultimately, like, that's the passion that people have towards these things. And baseball is really the sport that I have found that of all that I've been for national championships with Georgia, they take it the most personally. The calls, they feel like they're part of the calls of the games. You know, investing in that app. And remember, we didn't have the rights to stream that audio up until 2 years ago. So yeah. You used to not even be able to get it on our app. You had to listen on terrestrial
radio.
The
pandemic was really finally got Major League Baseball in the 20th century.
It did. And, you know, we really, and I don't want to take credit for this, but our relationship with the Braves allowed us in the pandemic to be the second team after Oakland that was able to stream the games. Now everybody's able to. So our guinea pig, setting up as a guinea pig, actually worked. And it worked because it maximizes the team's reach. Some people can't watch on TV. They're driving in their cars. Some people, I can't tell you how many people told me that, you know, it's 1 o'clock in the morning. They have the radio broadcast as they're falling asleep and they have it next to them and they listen to the radio broadcast. And it never registered because, like, you know, I grew up as a radio person, but I watch TV my whole life. I remember, I remember, you know, the Oakland, it was 89-ish when the earthquake happened and the TV went dark. Like, that's what my association is. But now that I hear the people talking about radio, it makes a lot more sense, and it's awesome to see.
Yeah, well, it's a great segue into our next topic, which was kind of postmortems. And I want to hit for a second because Major League Baseball had to do a postmortem on Oakland and Atlanta, right? To then decide that, hey, this made all the sense in the world to open it up to all the teams. Okay, but think about, businesses out there that you're doing sports marketing. Are you doing a postmortem on your, customer experience, your sports marketing events, or are you just going, well, you know, we ended up getting 16 tickets, and of those 16, 10 people were clients, 6 were kids or neighbors or friends type of thing. So should we have done it or not done it? That's not the postmortem we're talking about. I mean, why don't you just give us some examples of some things that you've seen, you know, you sit down with clients and say, all right, what went well, what didn't, how do we start planning for the next big event?
Yeah, well, I think it's important to differentiate between a recap, if you will, and an evaluation. Because recap, you know, if a client is not super involved in the process and they're either trusting us to kind of be the agency and the marketer, we're going to do a recap. But if it's a client who, hey, let's sit down, talk through this together, find out where we can improve, I always prefer those, because if you can get the client, really, you want them to be on your side, because you're not telling them it worked, they're telling you it worked. That's going to always be the long-term benefit. But there are plenty of clients that we just have to recap. And here's what I'm telling you guys. If you're doing your marketing and a client does a recap for you, ask questions, because they're not going to put the bad stuff in there. They're going to put, this works swimmingly because I have all these points, metrics that show this. That's not the way to do it. And again, we have clients that they just want that. And I'm not going to criticize it, but being walking hand by hand with a client, looking over touch points, metrics, KPI, I hate those letters together. Yeah. I hate people saying it, because everything should be a key performance index. But what are those KPIs? And if you did a good job on your upfront, it should be easy to evaluate and recap.
Well, KPIs, as we look at them, are really things that are going to help drive your business. All the others are just metrics. They're indicators, but they're not performance indicators. They're not truly, you know, we talk a lot about vanity metrics. And, you know, one of the ones in this month we're talking about it, you know, on our newsletter and on our video series is leads and cost per lead. All right. A lot of people think, to your point, that it's a KPI. Leads is a good metric. It's not a KPI unless you have years of data that prove the way you go about getting leads, right?
You compare it to control group.
And cost per lead, I'm sorry, I never see it as a KPI, because guess what? I can game the system.
Yeah.
I can go out, I can do a sweepstake, I can go out, I can buy leads, I can drive that cost per lead down. Guess what? All that does is create a lot of crappy leads for my business that someone's got to deal with, either inside sales, if you have business development reps, salespeople, whatever.
And it's wasting their time. Wasting time on bad leads. You know, it's funny that you mentioned those things, because as we're talking about sports, those are the first things to go out the window. When you're talking about sponsoring the World Series, nobody cares what the key but the metrics are. Most of the people just want the tickets, but the other ones just they feel like they have to be part of the excitement. And you know what? You still can't measure excitement. You still can't measure that. And that's one of the funny things is, you know, all the analysis we do, all that's not going to matter for the World Series. Not one person is going to ask for a recap to anything. Most people were in the suite. They had their family members, their kids in there. They met other clients. They shared that camaraderie. How do you value that?
It's future relationships. It's cementing those relationships. Also, you have ambassadors. I mean, that's what you're trying to get. So, you know, we talk about, you know, you get leads and then you want to get, you know, you want to activate on them. All right. And then you want to get engagement. Ultimately, you want ambassadors. I mean, it goes beyond just loyal customers. Ambassadors are the people that you bring, or you're shifting them into ambassador status by bringing them to the games.
Yeah, absolutely. When we're talking about these recaps, you know, those fans and those people, the fans of the station, you should have them involved in your recap. You know, I had a very funny conversation last week. We had one of my sales guys had two experiences. One was with United Healthcare. The guy who we were building this campaign with was really hard. He's like, these are the metrics. We have to hit them no matter what. We have to hit them. So I said, I go, look, we don't work that way. What I'm going to tell you is I'm going to throw everything I can at this and I'm going to try to achieve your goal. And we fought and we fought. And he's like, if we don't hit this, we're not going to pay you. I'm like, I don't do business that way. I go, because I don't use your insurance policy, you don't seem to give me money back. So ultimately we had this whole thing. We threw everything we could at it. We had the recap call. The sales guy was dreading the recap call. We get on the call and the first words were, okay, when can we do this again? And I'm like, what? What do you mean? What can we do this again? Because people in the market had told him, they heard about it, and that you can't measure that with a tangible thing. But his buddies told him about it. Now all of a sudden, people are asking about it. Those are hard things. The next one is called Fleet Corp. $2 billion company that does fleet cards. So we had done a World Series package. We sold one to them. You know, you're talking 30 grand, a good chunk of change. The guy who comes in and we start talking, and God bless the sales guy, because he asks good questions. He always asks, hey, well, why did you take this meeting with us? Why did you come to us today? So we start talking, and then finally he goes, so did it work? We had run a campaign early in the year. He goes, can I be honest? I go, uh-oh. If someone says, can I be honest, this is not going to be a conversation. So the first words were, AM sports radio is the most effective medium we used across America. I go, okay, that's a good start. And then he goes, and you are the most effective AM sports station. So I'm like, so you're saying we're the best? we won. We won. And ultimately, that's why they bought the World Series package. But had we not sold that and had that conversation, we wouldn't have known. So when you sit with somebody and when you evaluate, so the next question for this guy was, okay, and he's like, well, we have Adobe and we have all these, we put all these points in and KPIs and the AI is measuring and blah, 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 blah. I'm like, that's awesome. I go, can I see it? He goes, see what? I go, can I see the data so I can build a campaign for you based on the data of what we know succeeds? He goes, holy crap, you're the first person to ever ask me that. And I go, so how many advertisers? He's like 40, 50. I go, no one asked you to build a campaign based off that data you have. So ultimately, he said, what I want to do is I want to sit down and I want to go over the data and I'm going to sit and ask every client we deal with why they haven't asked for that data. So it hasn't happened yet. This was last week.
Yeah.
But we're going to sit, go over the data points, find out who the people they reach the zip codes, match that up with the analytics we have and build a data-driven campaign.
And that's such a great point. And I want to, you know, there's two pieces to that. First one is, okay, you're going to do the recap. You need to make sure you had a baseline. So I'm going to use a wonderful client of ours, Aquascape Environmental, and started working with them late last year. And one of the first things we did is look at the baseline of 2020.
Sure.
Right. So, you know, they ask us basically to assess their marketing, help them think about, you know, what they should be doing differently. And we're working with their marketing agency. All right. So we're not, you know, we're kind of overlay. And so we set up the baseline and we set up where all their business comes from. What are their goals? But they were able, they're able to target, you know, does their business come from current customers, past customers, referrals,
sure.
marketing based efforts, internet, other, you know,
sure.
all those type of things. So we set that as a baseline. We just did a little recap at the end of Q3, just a week or so ago. And I said, it's about time to take a look at that. And so even though it's not full year, we got it through about 10 months. And, you know, they had already met their goals this year, total
sure.
goals. But I started to look at, all right, let's go back to that baseline and look at where they are now. They're going to finish ahead in every category because the pie is growing.
Sure.
They had one category that through 10 months compared to 12 months was already up 30% over last year.
Sure.
And that was marketing driven. Right.
That works.
You know, it works. And so, the owner was really happy to see it. But his number one comment when I got the data back and said, he goes, we need to get you in again in front of the entire team because you shared the baseline with them while we were doing all this earlier in the year. I want them to see these results because part of what he was trying to do is instill in all his team that when certain things are asked of them for marketing, whether it's videos, emails, you name it, whatever the campaigns are, that there's a reason. It's bringing business in.
Yeah. And that's that swagger. You know, seeing numbers like that is what makes people motivated to push a little harder and sell for a little bit more expensive. And, you know, it's really funny when you look at, you know, data, it's funny. Brian Snicker, manager of the Braves, great Sports Illustrated article, pretty much saying this guy laughs in the face of analytics. What the hell is he doing here?
Yeah.
Like, because everything's analytics driven. And he's just like, look, I go with my gut, man.
Yeah.
So, you know, I actually just finished The day that we were getting ready for game three, I believe, I sit on a Forbes council and I wrote an article about Brian Snicker analytics. And this is what I'm going to say. You know, it's very important to have data. It's very important to analyze data. But at some point, that gut has to take over. And if you use your gut, and now the reason that Snicker's able to do that is because Alex Anthopoulos is data-driven as they come.
Yeah.
So you have both sides of the coin right now. So you got your guy that's said the data guy, and you got your guy that's the gut guy. If you can find that balance, that guy that's been there 20 years.
They're communicating.
If those two people can communicate, and it's ironic because Colin Wheat, one of our other VP of sales, and I are that exact thing.
Yeah.
You know, I've gotten him to be a little more data-oriented. He's gotten me to be a little bit more gut-oriented. When you combine those two, it's amazing what you can accomplish. So as important as all those recaps are, I bet you that the owner of that company, the gut was telling him what to do also. And when he wanted to show it to those people, he didn't want to be the guy to show the success. He wanted to be the guy to say, hey, do this, and then the data backs up why I should do it.
And he wanted it coming from others versus him. He didn't want it the boss to be saying this, and people just do it because of that. And I heard, you know, we lost Colin Powell, obviously, a few weeks ago, and one of the most impactful things I heard some of the aftermath was his principle that he had a 40 to 70 principle. He said, I'm not going to make a decision until I know about 40% of the information. And he goes, but I will make a decision by the time I get to 70. He goes, I'm not waiting for 80, 90, 100. He goes, 40 to 70, and my experiences, my gut, whatever you want to call it.
I think that's the perfect ratio.
Yeah, perfect ratio.
And I think anything over 50%, to be honest with you, if you have 51% of the information, I think the better and longer tenured you are, you can make the right call. And again, like, this is the most important thing. You're going to fail. And you should be prepared to fail. And failure is just simply something you learn from. If every marketing campaign worked, my job would be so different. I would be in such a different world. If I could just geniusly come up with any marketing campaign in the world, it doesn't work that way. And there's a lot of reasons it doesn't work that way. But these recaps, these evaluations, however often you do them, are an important way for you to be that good of a marketer. Now, I will also say that if you're going into these things, one of this is also the term of your agreement.
I was going to say, that's really a great way, recap. So, and you're going to fail, but you're going to make a next decision. And how do you start thinking about, all right, should we do this again? And your priority is starting to have those discussions. And I'm going to guess there's a mix. You know, you can, we can get that pie out, and you've probably already got 40 to 50% of current advertisers already signed up for next year. You probably got another 25 or 30 that, okay, we just need to get our budget approved, but you know they're coming. And then you probably got a quarter that just going to hem and haw and aren't going to make a decision until February.
Yeah. You know, we luckily we have a real supply demand curve. And I say real because we sell out almost every month. So we really, when I talk about principles of, hey, get in now, you're going to have better spots, get in now because the price is going to go up. Those are based on real supply demand curves, which doesn't happen in a lot of industries. You can say, you can artificially try to do those things. Radio has done such a poor job of how they manage. You know, if everything is coming in monthly, you're screwed. We sign a lot of long-term deals. We adhere to first right of refusal clauses. So for example, if you're the title sponsor of something at this station, you have until 60 days from when that ends to decide if you're going to do it next year. Yep. Otherwise, I'm selling it to somebody else. And that sounds horrible, but that's how the sports teams makes their money. That is best practices of the industry. So my advice to people is, when it works, two things. Always ask for some first right of refusal clause, because the last thing you want to have happen is you make this killer campaign and then they go to your competitor for three times the money. And then if you believe in the client you're working with, always ask for a long-term deal. It sounds counterintuitive because things change so quickly, but good companies will do two things. One, they will put some sort of out clause in there to protect you. But two, they're going to adapt with you, and the program and the proposal will reflect the ability to adapt with somebody. You just have to be long-term, especially in something like radio that takes time and reach and frequency to get there.
Absolutely. Great points. And not just radio. So next week, we're going to have the chief administrative officer for the Georgia World Congress Center. Right. And we're going to talk what's going on in trade shows and events and all that. So exactly what you said, guys, it's been 6 years ago now, five, 6 years ago when I was at Bellegarde. We had the opportunity to jump in at the last minute at the Philadelphia Flower Show as one of the five leading sponsors, the only one in our category. And because someone who had been an 18-year sponsor dropped out.
Wow.
All right. This all happened. The show takes place in February. You know, a million people come to it over 2 weeks. And, you know, we had already set our budgets and all that. Okay, this is a big ticket sponsorship, right? Both product and dollars. And so, but they were interested in us. They liked what we did. And so I came back and I said, look, my budget is already committed this year, but I can't give you the dollars you wanted this year, but I can give you a 3-year contract where over the 3 years, and then I didn't quite average because I was negotiating, but I said, year one, I got to take $25,000 off because I'm, you know, hurting. Year two, you get closer. Year three was above the average point. And then I said I wanted a right of first refusal at the end of the 3 years, and they took it. Okay, so if you're out there looking at big trade shows and things like that, and we'll get into it more next week, that's a case of where, guess what? The demand isn't there right now because of the pandemic. Sports marketing, especially in Atlanta, you're at the other end right now. There's not deals to be had.
Right now. But that's why the clients that sign long-term deals are going to get the benefit of the doubt also. And that's the balancing act, to be honest with you, is how do you balance out the long-term sponsors with the guys coming in trying to come in last minute, because you got to maximize revenue, but at the same time, it's got to be you got to play the long game also.
Yeah.
So if you have the ability to do it, I always recommend those two things, a long-term deal, and long is relative, right? I mean, a 2-year deal, if you're somebody like a radio station or a TV station, those are long-term deals. If you're a sports team, they're going to laugh you out of the building at a 2-year deal. You know, 3-year deal for something like a trade show that big, those don't come along often.
And they love it because, you know, they don't have, that's one less sponsor they had to worry about 100%. For the next 2 years.
100%. And they don't make their money on sponsorship. That's gravy for them. They make their money because this is one of the largest trade shows for what they do. So, but you know, again, everything is case by case. If you're negotiating with a smaller team, you know, hey, do a five-year deal and do an opt-out at the 1 year. Any business with a brain is going to take a long-term deal. And ultimately, psychologically, it is much easier for somebody to just not renew than there is for them to opt out. It's that simple. Yeah. It's very hard to have the conversation, I'm out. It is very easy to not answer a call when it's time to renew. So any salesperson, we're going to take those deals every time.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's go back. Think about whether it's sports marketing or your marketing in general. One, think about having a plan, all right? Then thinking about your scenarios. Right? We talked about that at one point, especially with, you know, what's going to happen. You know, are we going to have a parade? Are we not going to have a parade, et cetera? And then think about doing the recaps. All right. So those are important. And then, you know, with those recaps, what does the future look like? You know, do you have a plan? Do you have that right of first refusal? And I think that point that Nick mentioned is so critically important. So any other, you know, key advice you would give someone in thinking about, because look, we're November, people are looking at next year. What else should they be considering now if they know it's their target audience so they don't get left out in the cold?
Yeah, we brought this up previously, but I think you have to combine all of your different resources together. So you should not be sitting with just your radio agency. You should have your radio agency, your digital agency, all together in a room and say, where can we do better? Because again, my job is to take the biggest pool of advertising money as I can. Digital's job is to take the biggest pool of money. That's not in your best interest. Bring them together. Say, hey, what could we do? Hey, how do you think you could work better with radio? Radio, how could you work better with digital? Use those tools. One, you'll see who your real partners are. And two, you're going to have a much more holistic approach to your marketing the next year.
Oh, absolutely. And I used to love getting all my different agencies together, especially either late in the year or very first of the year. And guess what? The synergies that happen from them hearing about things, all of a sudden you get that tremendous integration. And that's really what you want to build for your business. So when we come back from the break, we're going to talk a little bit more about some of the challenges businesses are seeing out there today and maybe some different ways of thinking about it. So you are listening to the Marketing Mad Men on Extra 106.3. We'll be right back.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. Now back to the Marketing Mad Men on Extra 106.3 FM.
Welcome back to the Marketing Mad Men. Trip Jobe here with Nick Constantino of 680 The Fan and the Atlanta Braves Radio Network. We've been having fun talking about sports marketing, and you know, we kind of finished up on recaps and planning for next year. What are the things that you're hearing? I'll share some things I hear as well, but as companies are thinking about 2022, you know, what are the challenges and real concerns that they're faced with right now as far as marketing in general and growth?
Yeah, so we deal with three major things. First and foremost is, you know, my budget was cut. A lot of times that's a commodity or that's someone who's either doing poorly or doing really well. And that's the one where you hate to hear. They're doing so well that they're cutting their marketing budget, which makes absolutely no sense. But the purse strings are tightening. Then we get the inevitable, we can't find people. That's a lot the home improvement industry. They're booked out 6 months at a time. Right. If they marketed, they can't take the influx. And then the last one, and this has been really coming up in the past couple of weeks, is our marketing staff has been cut. We don't have the staff to execute these events. You know, I got a text message yesterday from our friends at Maker's Mark, and they're like, can we bring our big activation to SEC Championship to our tailgate? My answer is usually yes, but, you know, if Bama and Georgia play each other, who knows what's going to happen down there? It's going to be wild. Right. So I was like, I have to get back to you. And she goes, well, can you let me know now? They cut 80% of their staff at the agency that would execute
this. Oh, my
goodness. So I'm like, yes. And I was just like, exclamation point, yes, bring it. Like, we'll figure it out. Don't worry about it.
Well, but, and you're the one who's guaranteeing the, you know, the fact that it's going to happen.
And it's going to happen, and that adds value to the client. But you know, I think, you know, the jobs, what Trip is doing and what Rand Inc. does is a kind of a way to protect yourself from a lot of these things. So, you know, let's talk specifically, Trip, you go into a little bit about situations you've been in where maybe they've cut their marketing staff and all of a sudden the services in which they need to do, you can provide. You know, simple math is simple math. You may be coming out of pocket 20% above, but if they're going to be 25% effective, you just netted 5%. That should be pretty easy math when you think about it.
Yeah, and we're, you know, so we have two sides to our business. We have the strategy side, which kind of falls into your first point. We'll come back to that. But then we have the marketing management and execution and analytics side that, to your point, and we are seeing it more and more with, you know, people are just held back on hiring earlier this year, or now they can't find the right person. Well, guess what? You've still got to get those campaigns. You got to launch those products. So outsource. Back to your point about getting it done, check the boxes. Guess what? We're making sure and guaranteeing everything will happen. You know, yeah, so that's
essential, especially it's especially essential when there's a lot of moving pieces or you're with tighter budgets. The thought that you're going to have less people with tighter budgets is insane. That's when you have more people because you got to show it's more effective.
And the thing that it's funny is we talk to people, some of them don't get it. And then some of the clients we use get it. We can be the people they fire short term temporarily and get back. So when you're working with an outside agency, whether it's Rand or someone else, is all right, you've got an interim need. We understand your business. We bring people that have 15, 20 years experience versus hiring someone with 2 years.
Right.
We can ramp up. And then guess what? If you find the right person and you get them on board and get them trained and you need us to ramp down, we ramp down. You know, yeah. And so it's unlike trying to go through the whole hiring and firing process. And that's the piece that it sometimes I scratch my head because I was on the other side of the table and I'm like, I used my agencies for, you know, 40% of what we needed to do. And then I had internal people do 60. But we see more and more nowadays people are trying to do it all in-house.
I hate to say it, but whenever you face some sort of economic downturn, adversity, marketing is the first people to go. And the reason why is that marketers look at marketing as an expense and not something that's going to grow revenue and not an investment. And it sucks and it's true, but just, you know, remember last week we were talking to Joe DePriest about the nature of how a CMO has changed. CMOs, I'm seeing job offers for like 150 grand for CMOs. You're talking C-suite? I mean, these people should be involved in all the stuff. It has changed so dramatically. And just the nature of marketing, you have to be so in sync and synergistic with the agency or your marketing people because they're asking more and more out of marketing departments these days.
And they should. I mean, and that's part of the problem is you need to think like a business. And I love the term nowadays where it's called chief market officer instead of chief marketing officer because that's someone who's connected to your business.
Sure.
But the other piece you mentioned, and this kind of goes to our strategy piece, and we've got a couple clients that are fighting this right now, okay, with supply chain concerns and all that. You know, they're seeing short-term financial struggles and they're going, you know, I think we've got to cut back on some of our outsourced strategy programs and until business gets better. And there's a part of us that says, all right, how's business going to get better if you're not doing anything different?
Somebody else is going to spend when you're not. That is the one thing to be true of anywhere is that there are people that are going to see opportunity there. And while you're sitting there twiddling your thumbs, there's going to be somebody that's going to come in and spend more money. And again, I'm not saying that's always the right answer, but you know what? Most people who have thrived have advertised during downturns. One, because they have foresight. Two, because their business is well built. But just remember, for every time that you give up something that's going to gain market share, somebody's going to add something that's going to gain some of that market share. And in hindsight, it's always 20/20. But if you don't look forward and see that potential opportunity is going to be there, you're in big trouble. And it's happened a lot in this country.
Yeah, valid points. And I'll go back to the strategy side of our business versus just the advertising. This is in cases where we've got clients that are looking at, how do I expand? How do I get into new markets or adjacent markets? So a lot of it is that strategy. And they know they need to do that because their core business is only, you know, going along at a certain clip. And yet they go, wait a second, but I can't spend to grow that $3-5 million I want to grow. How are you going to do it if you don't have the people?
Sure.
If you don't have, you know, you're not willing to commit to it. And it's just interesting. I think sometimes, and we say it, sometimes you have to stop spending, analyze, go back to your recap and go, all right, maybe I need to stop this $25,000 in order to do something that can help me grow into the future.
Yeah. I think a lot of fundamentals of business, you know, I know times change, things have progressed, but a lot of fundamentals don't change. And the only thing I know to be true about anything is it either takes time or money to be good at something and to really succeed. Yeah. And if you're telling me you're going to cut your marketing and cut your staff and think that the fewer staff you have and the less money is going to maximize what you're trying to accomplish, you either figured out something that I didn't or you're going to be sorely mistaken.
Yeah, and then the other one, I sometimes kind of laugh when I see some of the posts when people are trying to hire someone out there, and they have this
67 years of experience, 2 master's degrees, and 20 years of experience for an entry level job.
Well, or they're trying to make it something that they say, yeah, I want three plus years experience, and then they have this laundry list of 40 different items on their list, and go, there's no one that's had 3 years of experience that can do what you're looking to do.
I think a lot of that's also laziness, where they're just taking the same job description and changing 4 things and posting it because it's tedious to write a job description. I mean, there's no other excuse for it. But I think that's a growing trend going around. And I think, look, hiring is not easy. You know, writing a resume, sending it out, especially for companies these days where the job description doesn't necessarily match what you're going to end up doing. You know, what I got hired for, what I do are very, very different things. But you know, that is a really good point. And I had another client today. They let go of a very high level, comes from a consultant background marketing director because she was spending too much per lead. Well, you think you're going to pay someone $25,000 that's going to be able to increase that? It doesn't make any sense.
So, I mean, that's the perfect case for outsourcing. So, I mean, if that's something you're thinking about, take a look at our website, randinc.cc. I'm happy to talk about it. But I think those are the type of things that really can help businesses look at what's realistic. Am I going to get someone I need, or do I just need to put certain type of money in this effort, and then look at outsourcing wherever it needs to be?
Yeah, and I agree. And I think that when you think about outsourcing, I think that there's a lot of soul searching that has to happen, and how much of your data are you willing to give up? Because if you really want someone to accomplish things, you got to give them free rein to look around, because you might not like what you're going to hear, but you have to have trust in somebody that's going to be able to look at this whole thing as a group and say, here's some things I do. Why are you doing this? If you don't, then you're setting that person up to fail also.
Absolutely. So fantastic session again, Nick, and what a great baseball season we had.
Very exciting.
Hopefully we can keep this going, maybe with the Hawks, I'm afraid, and definitely the Bulldogs. I'm afraid the Falcons aren't going to have us the same excitement this year, but we'll have some fun as we get through college football playoffs and have you back on. Appreciate all your insights, and you have been listening to the Marketing Mad Men on Extra 106.3.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey sandwich lovers, today's your lucky day. There's a whole new way to roll for lunch or dinner delight with Nucky's Hoagies in the Roswell Corners Shopping Center. Now open! Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell is family owned and operated by the sub-sisters, Stacy and Shannon, whose love language is food and Nucky's Hoagies, their passion. When you bite into a Nucky's Hoagie, you'll taste the difference. The softest hoagie rolls ever, along with hunger-quenching sandwich combinations. Make Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell on Woodstock Road your new favorite spot for lunch or dinner.